The Song of Moses, Part 5. I hadn't intended to spend so much time on the Song of Moses, but as I got into the study and began to read related scriptures, I recognized that America, Israel, God's Christian Israel, is not going to turn to God until we as a people recognize that in many cases in our churches, we are not worshiping the God of Israel. In other words, people who have been deceived into thinking they are actually worshiping God through the belief and practice of certain doctrines are going to have to realize that they are worshiping devil doctrines, apparently, before many of them will then come out and begin to search the scriptures for the truth. And that's the reason, of course, why we have to understand what is taught in the Song of Moses. We cannot sing the Song of Moses, as Revelation tells us we will, until we understand what the Song of Moses is about. For we read in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 24 that I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them with the poison of serpents of the dust. And I think until we get a better understanding of what that poison of the serpents is and how far we have been poisoned by it, will not begin to turn to the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians 11, we read, in verse 13 through 15, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. If you'll turn to the book of Revelation from the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the second chapter of Revelation in verse 9, speaking to the church at Smyrna, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. And then we find another church at Philadelphia, which he speaks to in chapter 3, in verse 9, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. So here is a prophecy that these people will be required to turn to God's Christian people and recognize that God has loved his Christian people. But until such and such a time comes to pass, apparently, they are going to have certain power. Revelation 12 and verse 9, I read, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, if we put all of these verses in the New Testament together, in conjunction with the prophecy in the Song of Moses that the house of Israel would actually receive the poison of the serpents of the dust, and we put it along with a historical book, which some of you perhaps have read, some of you perhaps have not, but Henry Ford, who is well known in America as the man who put America on wheels, wrote a book which was published in 1923. The title of it was The International Jew, and in the first chapter of the book on the church, he states that every seminary in America was controlled by the Jews at that time, 1923. If the book of Revelation is right, that those which call themselves Jews but are not are the synagogue of Satan, and they have controlled the seminaries in America since 1923, and if America was to be plagued by the poison of the serpents of the dust, then I certainly can put two and two together and find out that the angels of the devil are actually the men who are the ministers who have graduated from the seminaries in America over the last 50 years. 49 years since a great Christian American by the name of Henry Ford spent 4 years investigating the Jewish influence in America, at the end of which time he stated that every Protestant seminary in America was controlled by the people that my Bible calls the synagogue or the church of Satan. And Satan has called that old devil the serpent, and here we find that the house of Israel, because they would turn away from the word of God, would actually find they would be poisoned by the serpents of the dust. And brother, sister, that poison has come through one channel, and that channel has been the organizations called churches, and it has been spewed out over pulpits in America, which most of the people think have preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of John, our Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to the chief priests, scribes, and elders, said of them in verse 44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Brother, that one verse would tell me that if the old devil, Satan, the father of lies, has people who have actually been in charge of, and the teachers of, and the writers of the books of, the seminaries in America, that hardly a man could go through a seminary in America in the last 40 years without being at least deceived to some extent by the father of lies, and then go into the pulpit and spew those lies out over the pulpits of America and into the churches. And I have a letter here which is one of very similar to many which I receive, and praise the Lord for every one of them. But I'll read just a part of it because it'll give you an idea of just what happens with individuals and what I believe must happen with a great host of individuals in God's Israel before we will actually turn away from Satan's lies. This man writes from Oregon, and he says, "The Lord led us out of a fundamental church. At the time, we didn't know why, but now he has led us into the Anglo-Saxon Israel truth. Through your tapes, we have gained much more knowledge about this and see how we have been deceived by the preachers of the fundamentalist churches. The Word of God, the truth of God, finally, as this man was seeking, revealed to him that he had been deceived, and where had he been deceived? In the fundamental churches." And he recognized it. He doesn't write to me and say, "Pastor Emery, I heard your sermons, and then I realized the newspapers were deceiving me," did he? No. He wrote and he said, "Pastor Emery, I was led into the Anglo-Saxon Israel truth, and then I realized I was deceived by the churches." And would to God that our people who have been given wisdom of God would recognize that the major source of deception of the Israel people, according to what we see and according to the Bible, was to come from men who came in the name of Christ as angels of light and were actually the ministers of the synagogue of Satan. And brother, sister, that has happened to us. Here's what he does now, and I believe a great host of people will continue to do this. He says, "We are anxious to learn all we can. We gather together a small group to meet in our home on Friday evening to listen to your tapes. There are 9 of us at the present that the Lord led out of the same church." You notice? They didn't stay in the same church and then get truth. The Lord led them out, and then they got the truth. The Lord led them out, and then they received it. And some of you people here, you know the same thing happened to you. The same thing happened to us. We actually were led out. We don't quite understand the reason, but we actually left the church. And then God led us to a church that preached the truth. And then we realized over a period of years that the great deception which was upon our people came to us primarily from one place. And if there is anything that I pray I can get through our understanding from this study of the Song of Moses, is that the deception of the house of Israel originates and comes to us because we have turned away, but it comes to us through the pulpits of America. Not from the communists per se. Can you imagine what would happen in America today if half of the preachers in the nation were to expose communist propaganda from their pulpits? Why, the American people would know all about communist propaganda within a matter of a few weeks. But the American pulpits simply do not teach the people the truth so that they can recognize the devil and his lies, and they're actually deceived by them. All right, let's turn over to Jeremiah 23. I hope you've all read that since the last time. I mentioned it at the end of the last sermon, because I simply do not want to take the time to read the entire chapter. But I'm going to read enough of it to show you, or at least to answer, a question which comes up to me once in a while, because people will say, well, Pastor Emery, why do you spend so much time exposing the preachers? Why don't you just preach the word? Well, brother, sister, preaching against preachers is preaching the word, and I'm going to demonstrate this, because this is not my sermon. This is actually God preaching. This is God speaking in Jeremiah 23. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. This is God preaching against the preachers, and you listen. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. Verse 9, mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right, for both prophet and priest are profane. Why is the land in trouble? Because of enemies coming against it? Because of propaganda from an alien nation? Because somebody sends drugs into the land? No. He said the land was in this condition because both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house, in God's house, have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Those more concerned about wickedness in the house of the Lord, in his church, and among his preachers, than he is among the Antichrist and the enemy and the heathen. This is where the trouble is in God's house, in the places where they profess his name, but preach the lies of the devil. Profane, both prophet and priest are profane. Verse 14, I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of the evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. What do you suppose would happen in America if most of the preachers stood up in their pulpits this Sunday morning and exposed the wickedness in high places and opposed the criminality in the land? Why, the people would rise up as one within a few weeks and want to drive out the wicked and the criminals from the land. God says, no, these priests and prophets actually strengthen the hand of the evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. They walk in lies, they strengthen the hand of the people who are actually oppressing the people in America. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. A double witness in a matter of four or five verses. It is from the ministers that profaneness has gone into all the land. And we'll see here in a few moments what it is that they did wrong. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you, that make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. You know, there is a group of people called Jews in America who despise the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever heard a minister prophesy anything but good for them? I have a magazine in my office that tells me that because all of the comedians on television And most of the people in the movies are Jews, that's God blessing them in the land. God says here that the ministers preach to those that despise him and say to them, you'll have peace. And that's exactly what they do with these people. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. You know, almost every major nationally known ministry in America today preaches nice things for all the people. It says, isn't it wonderful? Everything's going to turn out all right. You're going to be fine. All you have to do is come down here and say how nice it is to be with Jesus. No repentance, no preaching against wickedness, no turning from sin, just everything is going to be all right. And then he asked this question, for who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? The answer, apparently, is practically no one. Hardly any of these priests and prophets hear the word of the Lord or preach it to the people. And then listen to the next verse. Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. God says to these people, they don't hear the word and they don't preach it, but the wicked are going to be destroyed. You know, and I'll just give you a good clue. You can almost recognize a minister of the devil, not by the nice things that he says, but by the fact that he almost never preaches about the destruction of the wicked. He almost never preaches about the destruction of the wicked. How many sermons have you ever heard from fundamentalist preachers or the evangelists about how God is going to destroy the money system? Brother, sister, they don't even talk about the money system. They don't even tell you there's anything wrong with it. How many of them do you hear preaching against the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah in the land, with the additional prophecies of God that God is going to destroy those wicked people and cleanse the land of the wicked? They'll go out and gather to them tens of thousands of people who in some manner are trying to do right, and they'll tell you, well, brother, sister, if you don't do right and come down in front of my pulpit, you're going to burn forever in hell. And they'll turn right around and tell you that the people who are the originators of the pornography and the controllers of the money system are God's chosen people, and God's going to bless them above all the people upon the face of the earth. And yet at the same time, these ministers speak these sweet and moving and smooth words that make you think that they are some great one, but their doctrines are devil doctrines. And they simply do not preach against the wicked in the land, nor do they preach and prophesy that the wicked will be destroyed. And that's literally what God says. They don't stand in the counsel of the Lord. The Lord says the wicked are going to be destroyed. They never say that. And here's the time, verse 20. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. Apparently, the entire chapter of 23 of Jeremiah is for our time right now, the latter days, immediately preceding the time, when we will sing the song of Moses. So I would think we're going to have to learn Jeremiah 23 a little better before we get around to learning the song of Moses. But it's leading up to the time when we will actually sing the song of Moses. Verse 21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. And here is another way that you can prove to yourself in a matter of one verse of Jeremiah that they are not from God. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Without picking any one minister in America, brother, sister, I can tell you on the authority of God's word of verse 22 of Jeremiah 23 that the ministers in America simply are not teaching God's word, because if they were, God says the people would have turned, right? plain, simple reading of that verse says, if they had stood in my counsel, and if they had caused the people to hear my words, the people would have turned. So the very fact that the people are not turning must mean, of necessity, that the ministers in America are not in the counsel of God. Therefore, whose counsel are they in? Well, they must be fulfilling the other side of the coin, where God said, when we turned away from the word, he'd send the poison of serpents of the dust. The synagogue of Satan has control of the seminaries, and the ministers must be preaching the doctrines of the devil, not the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God far off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill the heaven and the earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophet said. Yes, God hears these things. That's why he knows this. That prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name by Baal. Is it possible, brother, sister, I want to ask you a question. Is it possible that the doctrines which are taught by the so-called ministers in America are deliberately designed to turn America from God? I believe that it is. God says in this verse 26 and 27, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think, or which plan, or which desire to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor. In other words, this thing goes a lot deeper than you and I had ever dreamed. We think that many of these preachers are preaching the wrong things and false doctrine on hell and on the Israel people and on the doctrine of redemption, on prophecy, because they are mistaken. God says no. They're preaching these things in order to turn the house of Israel away from God. And I read from someplace here some time ago, I don't have it right now, that 90% of the college people in America today have no church affiliation and simply do not attend church. Now, we tend to blame the college students. Is it probably more right that the ministers of Satan in the pulpits of America are actually driving America away from God, and they're doing it deliberately and with a pre-planned purpose? Now, that's how serious this thing gets when I talk to people and when I preach about preachers. I don't know how I can lay it upon the hearts of people to understand that if you attend a church where the minister is preaching lies, don't write to Pastor Emery and say, Pastor Emery, send me some of your tracts. I want to straighten out my minister. Brother, sister, God's word says that these men are preachers for the devil, and their preachers are deliberately designed to deceive you people. And you get out of those churches. You leave them. I don't care if you have to go home and sit and read your Bible by yourself. Get out of those churches. And this letter that I read a few moments ago, same thing happened to that family that happened to us. We didn't find out the Israel truth and get all this glorious knowledge from God while we were in another church. We left. Then God gave it to us. And I think there are a great host of people in America that God has revealed that we are the Israel people, that the kingdom of God is being established. But you know, there are many great and wonderful and glorious things which you and I are learning because we left the other churches, whereas many people have just a small amount of knowledge, and they're not going to get any more until they get out of the other churches. And understand that these so-called fundamentalists and these liberals and these modernists, or whatever you want to call them, they are actually preaching doctrines which are designed to turn Israel away from God. Deliberately planned that way. according to the very verses which I just read here. And I read in verse 20, in the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. When is it? It's now. This is when it's happening. Not sometime in the past, not sometime in the future. Right now, while we stand upon this earth in this end of the age after Israel has been gathered, when we are being surrounded by all the heathen armies of the world, and inside our land are devil ministers preaching doctrines which is turning America away from God. 90% of college-age students have no connection with churches whatsoever. I watched a silent movie on television last night. I watch these once in a while. They're rather interesting on Channel 8. And I happened to leave the television on for a few moments after the movie was over, and a man came on there doing a monologue. Some of you may have seen it. An ugly little old Jew dressed in a ragged robe, shuffling around among the rocks, talking about what he was planning to do, and it took me a few minutes before I realized that this man was representing himself as the part of Jesus Christ, shouting at the Father and complaining about what wasn't turning out right and what he was going to try to do and how he hoped that he'd be able to die so that in after years they would speak good things of him. And he was a horrible-looking beast of a man. This was on our Channel 8 educational television. And our people are so far from the Word of God that they can go on there and have some man walk around and actually blaspheme Jesus Christ right in front of us, and we hardly realize what he's doing. I turned it off in a few minutes. I wasn't about to watch it, and I realized the futility of trying to call off the station and tell them to turn it off. I just shut it off. Horrible blasphemy of our Lord God here in this land where God has done so much for us. All right, turn back to Deuteronomy 31. In verse 21, we had read, it shall come to pass when many evils and troubles are befallen them that this song shall testify against them as a witness. The song of Moses in the end of the age, this song of Moses was not for some previous time. It apparently is for now in the latter days. And in chapter 32 and verse 29, God says this, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. And this is what the Song of Moses is for, to get us to consider our latter end, the terrible times and situations in which we are. All right, go back to Jeremiah 23, verse 28, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. You can't mix the two together. If he has a dream, if he's a false prophet, let him go ahead and preach it. Those who have the word of God, let him speak my word faithfully. And I believe that fits the lay people too. You simply cannot send a couple $3 to some kingdom identity minister so that he can preach the word of God faithfully and then turn around and give most of your money to some other preacher who's going to preach a dream and a lie and a false doctrine just as Jeremiah has said. You cannot join yourself to both houses, the house of God and the house of Satan. You're going to have to choose one or the other. And God says, the prophet that hath the dream, let him tell it. He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? God says the rest of that stuff's all chaff. Which do you want, chaff or wheat? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. And that's exactly what they do. They steal God's words from the people of Israel. Turn over to Galatians 1. I want to be sure and get that in here before we run out of time. The church and God's Israel people have always had this problem all down through the ages. It's nothing new. It's coming to a head at this end of the age. But way back when Paul had to write to Galatians, he said in the first chapter, verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And you know, if Paul were alive today, I imagine he'd write a letter to America and say, I marvel at how soon you people have moved into another gospel. If Paul were alive and saw the true preaching that this continent had in the 1600s and the early 1700s, and then see what's being preached in America today, he'd say, I marvel at what has happened. Unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. What was to be the other gospel? Something about another God? No, a perversion of the gospel of Christ. This is what Christ told us. He'd come in his name. They're not going to come preaching God by some other name. They're going to come preaching Jesus Christ, but they're going to pervert and change the words of Jesus Christ. And Paul goes on and says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, you must be sure they hear it twice. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. And brother, sister, that at least means if you're in a church where they're preaching another gospel and false doctrines and lies, at least get out from it. Because Paul says, let these people who preach this perversion of the gospel of Jesus, they're going to be accursed. And you're told to come out of Babylon, you're told to get away from it, you're told to get out of it. For goodness sakes, get away from the false teachers and the ministers of Satan, all the way from the Old Testament to the New. He says, I better read the next verse here. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Paul recognized that any perversion of the gospel that seemed to please the great masses of the people would probably be a perversion of the gospel of Christ. And that's what we see today. The great masses of the people go for the perversions of the doctrines instead of the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to Jeremiah 23. Verse 30, therefore, behold, I am against the prophet, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophet, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies. The great problem facing America today in the physical sense, as a nation and as a people, is that we are about to be destroyed by an enemy that is building a military arm to come against us and destroy us. And some of you have had the experience of attempting to tell Pentecostal and rapture believers about the danger to our nation from communism. And the answer they will give you is, well, I don't care because I'm leaving anyway. And they simply will not join in prayer or in study of the Word or in any activity that would save their nation, their people, even their own children and their grandchildren, because they say, well, I'm leaving anyway. And God says this is exactly what the perversion of the preaching does. It causes my people to err, and they make mistakes, and they do the wrong things. Because they're lied to by whom? By the communist? No, by the ministers of the gospel, the preachers, and by their likeness. For yet I sent them not, nor commanded them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Nothing good can come to you from lying prophets. They will not profit the house of Israel. All right, let's go back to Deuteronomy 32, the Song of Moses again. He read in the last verse, last part of verse 24, he would send upon them the poison of serpents of the dust. And brother, sister, perhaps I spent enough time to demonstrate to you that America is deceived from the poison of the serpents and the ministers of the devil. Verse 25, the sword without and terror within, we have it. Russia is planning to invade this North American continent, and the revolutionists are rising up within. and burning our cities. God said this would all happen right at this time. Shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also, with the man of gray hairs. I said I would scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high, and the Lord hath not done all this. You know, it almost appears that God is going to save us in order to prevent our enemies from exalting themselves above God. Well, I think we have to take into consideration that we're being saved not because of anything that we are. There's nothing in us worth saving by God Almighty. And the saving of us is a miracle of His love and grace to us. And this military complex under world communism, as most of you know, actually has the physical power to destroy this nation. God said, I'd let it happen. If it weren't that I'd fear that the enemy would say, well, they did it all by themselves. And God has already told us in the Song of Moses, I let them come in and get that power over you. All right, let's read the next couple verses here and see what we are. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord shut them up? Did you know that the Israel people, according to the word of God, are the most stupid, ignorant people and with a lack of understanding of anybody upon the earth when they do not have the word of God? You know, these heathen, these satanic people, actually have little intelligence. They make all sorts of mistakes. They do the stupidest things that expose them to us, so we should be able to see them. And yet we Israel people, by and large, were totally fooled by them. And there's only one time and in one condition that we are ever fooled by Satan, and that is when we have cast aside this book called the Bible. When we will not and do not and have not the Word of God, we are more void of understanding than any people upon the face of the earth. And I think in my book, Billions for the Bankers, I quoted Martin Luther as saying that even the heathen understood the evil effects of interest on money. And we don't understand it until we get in the Bible. God has seen fit to create a race of people, descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, called the house of Israel, who in themselves have no wisdom and understanding at all, except as they get it from the Lord God Almighty in His Word, and praise the Lord for that. Because you know what that means? That means if we have any wisdom at all, it is wisdom from God Almighty Himself. And that exceeds that of any other race or people or any other man. But without that wisdom, we are just what He says. They are a nation void of counsel, no intelligence at all, neither is there any understanding in them. And God says, would that they would consider their latter end. In Luke 16, I think we should read that verse just as a witness from the New Testament. In verse 8, in one of the parables, Jesus says, the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. New Testament verification that we are stupider than the children of this world, and we have no wisdom outside of the Word of God. I get request after request after request to work with or join with or give my advice to some of these so-called anti-communist organizations that are attempting to save America from communism. And my answer has always been the same, and it will continue to be the same. If you will not use the Word of God for all of your activities and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for your protection, I will have nothing to do with you. With you or for you, unless you do one thing. design everything that you do around the Word of God and seek His wisdom in this Word, because my Bible tells me that without the Word of God, you are void of understanding. You can't make a decision unless you read the Word of God. Now, would to God our people would get this across to them, that this is the only thing that will save Israel, is the wisdom of God in His Bible, and as long as we refuse it, we're going to go right on under the teeth of beasts eating up our substance and the poison of the serpents of the dust preaching from our pulpits, and we're going to continue to go down and down and down until we do one thing. Look for the wisdom of God in this Word. But verse 31 is a good place to end this section. For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. The children of this world are wiser than the children of light, and the children of this world have understood that the only way they can conquer the house of Israel is to take the Word of God away from the house of Israel, which they have proceeded to do. And they have done it by preaching a perverted gospel of Christ with doctrines which are designed, according to Jeremiah, to make us forget the name of our God as our fathers forgot Him in the name of Baal. The greatest weapon that the enemy has against God's Israel people in America today is the ministers in the pulpits, which are being used not for us, brother, sister, but against us. And until God's Israel people get to the point where... This is Pastor Emery, and so you won't think that you missed part of the sermon. We ran out of tape just as I finished the last sentence, repeating again that our salvation will come when we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word as a people and plead the blood of Jesus Christ and the covenant that God made with our fathers. And next week, Lord willing, we'll send you the closing comments on the Song of Moses.